The last week and a half or so has been one of the more strange, if not the strangest times in my life. The one possible exception I can think of is the days and weeks following September 11th, 2001. But being a civilian at that time and far away from New York and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C., my regular day-to-day life and routines were not altered in any particular way by the events of September 11th. But this is different. The coronavirus pandemic has altered life as we know it, at least for now. People are working from home, people are out of work, everybody is practically homeschooling their children. Many businesses have had to close down, at least temporarily. Stock market has been on a roller coaster, mostly downhill. Some states are on lockdown, others may be put on lockdown. One of my friends, who is a pastor, conducted a wedding this past week with only 10 people present. And the wedding was performed 10 days prior to when the couple had planned to get married because of the fear that they would be on lockdown when their planned wedding date actually arrived. These times are different, to say the least. And, as is only natural, the drastic change that has taken place in these last few days, the uncertainties concerning social, economic, medical, and political outcomes have many people concerned. It's been said before that nothing spreads like fear, and there is certainly some truth to that. And so the question confronting us all in these days is, how do we make sense of these things? And how do we live in times like these? In order to answer this, I would direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. Solomon writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination." These two verses present us a contrast that speaks volumes to the present time. The contrast is between the righteous man in verse 10 and the rich man in verse 11. This is certainly not to say that rich people are never righteous or that being righteous by definition excludes the wealthy. Rather, the case that is implied here is the case of a rich man who does not know the Lord, the man who has laid up treasures on earth rather than in heaven. Such a man is self-deceived. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. He thinks that his strong city will keep him safe and that it will never be broken into. But, as the second half of verse 11 tells us, it is like a high wall in his imagination. In other words, it is a high wall in his mind and not in reality. The true position concerning worldly wealth is what we read in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens." The events of the past week on Wall Street only go to prove the point. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul would command in 1 Timothy 6:17 that those who are rich in the present world must not fix their hope on the uncertainties of riches, but on God. And that is the very contrast that is going on in these two verses. Verse 11 points out the misplaced hope of the rich man who doesn't trust God. But verse 10 points us to the safety that is found in the Lord. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." Times like these are helpful to us in that they give us an opportunity to reflect on where we are placing our ultimate trust. Times like these give us a helpful reminder that the things of the world which appear to be stable are actually not so stable after all. We are reminded that the world in its present form is passing away. We're reminded of the fall, and that in the curse, creation itself was subjected to futility. We're reminded, in the words of Isaiah 45:24, that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. And so it is that we read in verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." We learn in these words what the Lord is like and how safety is to be found in Him. The name of the Lord is likened to a strong tower. And by the name of the Lord, what is meant is His character, His being, His attributes. The name of the Lord designates who He is. Just think of Exodus chapters 33 and 34, when Moses desired to see the glory of the Lord, and the Lord answered that He would make His goodness pass before him and would proclaim the name of the Lord before him. Exodus 33, 18 and 19. And then when the Lord proclaimed His name to Moses, He proclaimed His attributes, His character, as we find in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And so it is that when the Lord proclaimed His name, He proclaimed Himself, who He is. And certainly Scripture contains no shortage of description for the Lord's character. Just as He abounds in loving kindness and truth, and just as He is a just judge of the wicked, He is also, in the words of Romans 15:5, the God of perseverance and encouragement. In the words of Romans 15:13, He is the God of hope. In the words of 2 Corinthians 1:3, He is the God of all comfort. In the words of 1 Peter 5:10, He is the God of all grace. This is who God is. These descriptions of the Lord tell us who He is and what He does and what He provides for His people. He is the God who gives us all grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the God who gives us hope, which is to say, the earnest expectation that we will receive all that He has promised to us in His Word. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He is the God who gives perseverance and encouragement to our hearts. To our hearts, which are sometimes inclined toward discouragement and inclined toward turning back. This is the Lord. This is His name, who He is. It is no wonder then that Solomon would say, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." In the ancient world, the tower was the place to which people would flee when danger had come to town. You might say that it was the bunker of the ancient world. We get a picture of this in Judges chapter 9 when Abimelech, the son of Gideon, was fighting against the city of Thebes. Abimelech had captured the city, but Judges 9:51 tells us, "But there was a strong tower in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in, and they went up on the roof of the tower." When their city was captured, and there was nowhere else for them to go, they fled to the strong tower. And so it is that the name of the Lord, His character, His attributes, are a strong tower. How so? Well, Solomon tells us, the righteous runs into it and is safe. It's not all men and women who run into this tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The unrighteous and the self-righteous may or may not claim that they are running to the tower, but regardless of what the unrighteous and the self-righteous may say, it is only the righteous who actually enter into the tower. Who are these righteous ones? These righteous ones who run into the tower are actually, by nature, sinners and totally depraved. The truth of the matter is that by nature, all are sinners and totally depraved. We read in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, that there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. These righteous ones who run into the tower and are kept safe, then, are sinners. Sinners who have recognized their condition as sinners, who are accountable to a holy God. They are sinners who have heard and received and believed the good news that through the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, God justifies the ungodly. That is to say, He credits righteousness to the ungodly. Jesus died as a sacrifice for sinners to reconcile them to God, and then rose again from the grave 3 days later. And it is by faith that sinners are justified. That is to say, counted as righteous. It's through faith in Christ, because it is faith that unites us to Christ. Jesus Christ is the righteous branch of David, whose name is, according to Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord our righteousness. Christ was made to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is how men and women become righteous, and this is the only way. It is only these righteous ones who truly come to the Lord and find safety in Him. Again, the unrighteous or the self-righteous may pretend to run into the tower, but they do not really come to it. They are likely to find fault with the tower in some sense. They reject His name in some way or another. They may disapprove of His mercy and grace toward sinners because they do not really believe that they themselves stand in need of such mercy and grace. They may disapprove of His just judgment because they themselves hate righteousness. It is only the righteous who truly run into the tower and take refuge. To borrow a contemporary phrase, this is where they shelter in place, because this is the only place where safety is to be found. So many take refuge in this world and seek to find their safety here in some way or another. But there is no safety to be found in this world and what it has to offer. This is a world where we can lay up treasures, but moth and rust can destroy those treasures. Thieves may break in and steal those treasures. This is a world in which our health and our very lives are fragile and always uncertain. How did James put it? He said, James 4:14, "You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." We are all fragile and mortal creatures. And unless we are here when Christ returns, we will all one day die. All of our earthly possessions could easily be taken from us. In short, this world and all that it offers are poor substitutes for the strong tower that is the name of the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, during these very strange and uncertain times, I want to encourage you to run into the tower. Run to the name of the Lord our God and go in. Find in Him all that you need. Matthew Henry put it well when he said, "There is enough in God and in the discoveries which He has made of Himself to us to make us easy at all times." We can run to God and find in Him all that we need. And so how do we run to this tower? We do it by continually turning to the Lord with every care and anxiety that we may have. We look to Him in sickness and in health, in plenty and in need, in bright times and in dark times. We look away from the earth and its treasures and its false promises and false certainties. We remember that even now God is causing all things to work together for the good for those who love God. And we understand that this ultimate good toward which God is working is for our conformity to the image of Christ. And if that means the removal of earthly comfort and the removal of uncertain securities, so be it. We're pilgrims here, just passing through for a season. As the writer to the Hebrews put it, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." When the church historian Philip Schaff died in 1893, one of his friends and fellow professors, W.G.T. Shedd, came to visit Philip Schaff's family and said to one of the family members, "We will all of us soon be gone. Death is a monster, but there is victory through Christ and eternal life. That is everything. The life here is a little thing, and chiefly of value as a preparation for the life beyond." And so, friends, may this season into which we have now entered be to us a season of renewed preparation for the life beyond. May it be to us a season in which we shelter in place in the tower that is the name of the Lord. May it be a season in which our souls are encouraged by who God is and by what He has done for us through Christ. May it be a season in which we rely on His sovereignty, a season in which we trust in His purposes, a season in which we cling to His grace and mercy that are ours through Christ because of what He has accomplished for us by His life, death, and resurrection. Let's look to the Lord with every care that we may have and trust that He will accomplish His will for this world and accomplish His will for us and ultimately bring us to Himself. And may this be a season in which we hold out this word of life, this glorious gospel of Christ to others who currently have no strong tower, who are currently tossed on the waves of a world of uncertainty. Let us show them the way of righteousness through faith in Christ. Let us show them that this is the only safe place that is offered to us. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. So let's look to Him and cling to Him. May God strengthen us. Amen.